Okay, Bahman Nurai is here in the studio to bring us from here and there. What have you got for us here, Mr. Nurai?
Thank you so much, Mr. Ghanafar, and greetings from here all the way to London to Ms. Bahaji, your honourable guest. Today's topic of conversation, it really reminds me of the famous quotation, hijab is protection and not a limitation. Today, I forgot to wear my uniform of a gynaecologist. I wanted to talk to you about a mother's diet around the time of conception, that and it, the effects of it and how it can permanently influence her baby's DNA, according to some research. Animal experiments show diet in pregnancy can switch genes on or off, but this is the first human evidence. The research followed women in rural Gambia, where seasonal climate leads to big differences in diet between rainy and dry periods. Scientists followed 84 pregnant women who conceived at the peak of the rainy season and about the same number who conceived at the peak of the dry season. Nutrient levels were measured in blood samples taken from the woman, while the DNA of the babies was analysed 2 to 8 months after birth. Lead scientist Dr. Bronwyn Hennig from the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine said it was the first demonstration in humans that a mother's nutrition at the time of conception can change how a child's genes will be interpreted for life. Stay with us. Welcome back. More about women and pregnancies. Babies born to women over 35 who smoke are at greater risk of having a specific heart defect, suggests American research. Smoking during early pregnancy could account for 1 to 2% of all heart defects in babies, according to this study. A research team analyzed the hospital records of 14,128 children born with heart defects between 1989 and 2011 and compared them to the records of more than 62,000 children born without heart defects in the same year. They looked at the proportion of children with heart defects whose mothers said they smoked during pregnancy and the proportion of children without heart defects whose mothers smoked. The results showed that babies of smoking mothers were more likely to have a congenital heart defect if their mothers smoked during pregnancy, and the risk was highest in the heaviest smokers, smoking more than 20 cigarettes a day. Older women aged over 35 were twice as likely to have a baby with a heart defect if they smoked compared to non-smoking pregnant women. So stay away from smoking. Stay with us. Welcome back. Today I am going to introduce you to the book Falling Upward, Spirituality for the Two Halves of Life by Richard Rohr. In Falling Upward, Professor Richard Rohr seeks to help readers understand the tasks of the two halves of life and to show them that those who have fallen, failed or gone down are the only ones who understand the meaning of up, the true meaning of up. Most of us tend to think of the second half of the life as largely about getting old, dealing with health issues and letting go of life, but the whole thesis of this book is exactly the opposite. What looks like falling down can largely be experienced as falling upward. In fact, it is not a loss, but somehow actually a gain, as we have all seen with elders who have come to their fullness. The book explains how the second half of life can and should be full of spiritual richness. It offers a new view of how spiritual growth happens, so loss is gain, according to the writer. This important book explores the counterintuitive message that we grow spiritually much more by doing wrong than by doing right. Enjoy reading this book. Welcome back. Going through the emails, I found just the perfect message for this program and its topic. Alia from Italy says, "Hello, thank you for your program. I really find answers to some of my religious and family questions in your program. That's a relief. I am a Muslim living in a non-Muslim country. My question is, can Muslim women file lawsuits against their employer for not hiring them because of their religion or hijab?" It's the perfect question for Ms. Bahaji, as she also works and lives in a Western country. Ms. Bahaji, we would really like to know your viewpoint on this matter. Thank you for your answer beforehand.
Yes, she can, actually. According to the law of England, they can pursue that further to get their right back. Because here is a multicultural society and everybody's free to live the way they want to live, the way they want to dress, and that should not be a barrier or an error for them not to be employed. If they see the right lawyer or solicitor, they can't. There is a part of, I think, believe the law came on, I think, 80 years ago. If that would be fall onto the part of the races and prejudice, they, because of that specific part, they can take the person who does not employ them or make it any way difficult for them into the court and get their right back. But having said that, the person who doesn't employ a Muslim or they don't like their dress code, they don't put it that way. They make it a very funny excuse and they just refuse to employ you. And there are just a few, there's some sort of cleverness in that way as well. They use it that you're not professional enough, or they say you're overqualified. They make a very, very legitimized, you know, excuse to get rid of you or not employ you. So one has to be very, very intelligent in this matter to find out, you know, what was the reason or purpose, or go really deep into that. My daughter was working for one of the big company in central London. The minute they found out she's Muslim, her name sort of Mrs. Yates, which is an English surname. The minute they found out she's Muslim, they employed her, but they made it so difficult for her, and she had to leave the job. And she could never pinpoint out legally why they're behaving like that. Everything they did legally was obliged. So it is a difficult thing to face, actually. But then by law, yes, they can't. Nobody over here in England, I'm not aware for in other countries, to not employ you because you're Muslim or you have got a cover on.
Thank you so much, Ms. Bahaji. Alia, so always be on the lookout for the perfect excuses and be always intelligent regarding those, and listening to the advice of Ms. Bahaji, always look for the right solicitor. All right, that's a wrap for today's news beat. And here and there, I would like to leave the studio to Ms. Yeganafar. Thank you for your attention. See you next week. And before you go, sorry, do not forget to check out on Facebook, our Facebook page, facebook.com/purehome.sahadtv. Leave any comments or any messages for us. Feel free to share with us. It was a lovely experience to have you. See you.
Thank you, Master Nurai. You will always learn so much from here and there. Okay, now around a month ago, an Islamic fashion show for women was held in Tehran to showcase different styles of dresses and coverings, which were both fashionable and looked good, while they were also modest and apply to the Islamic dress codes. Since today we're talking about women's dress in Islam when they go outside of their home and in public, it would be appropriate to have a look at this report.